I'm a hardcore man. I mean, when I speak, I mean business. And I hardly ever change. These two girls are laughing already. They know what I'm going to say. My wife had had a dog for 16 years. And when the little dog died the other day, had a heart attack, it broke her heart. She'd had that little dog since she was a little teeny puppy. And she was still just a little dog. I weighed about 10 or 12 pounds, something like that. But she loved that little dog, and I don't like dogs. I don't like dogs, especially a dog in the house. I don't like a dog in the house. You know, if you're going to have one, the beast needs to be outside. You know, I am not a dog lover. I mean, that's just the way life is. I got another one back there with me. Probably a lot of you men are just like me. And so when my wife came to me two or three months later after the little one died, she said, "Honey, I'd like to have another puppy." I immediately said, "No. No dogs." I said, "That's it." I said, "Angel's gone. There ain't never gonna be another dog live in our house. That's it. It's over. No more dogs. No." Now, what do we not understand about that?
What did you know?
So guess what? All the girls, Cheryl goes to all the girls here that work here and says, "You know, I want a dog." And my husband says, "No." Now, I know I have to submit to him. But I also know that all of us can go jump up in Daddy's lap and tell God that I want another dog and have him soften my husband's heart so I can have another dog. So that's what they did. And they went to the throne of grace and began to jump up in Daddy's lap and say, "Father, work on Thurman's heart. Soften it up so we can have another little dog around the ministry center here." You know, and so about a week later, she says, "Has God spoken to you yet?" I said, "About what?" She said, "About a dog." I said, "No, and if he does, I ain't going to get you one." That sounds just like an old hardcore guy. Well, they continued to pray. They continued to pray. They continued to go up into this lap of God and petition God, say, "Lord, soften my husband's heart. Soften Thurman's heart. We want a puppy here in the ministry center." Well, and Cheryl one night said, "You know, if you really did love me, you would let me have a puppy." Doesn't that sound just like a woman? I said, "That's okay. I ain't going to get you a dog." I said, "I love you, but no dog." So then finally, a week or two later, on a Saturday night, I was sitting in there studying, getting ready for Sunday. And as I was studying all during the night, the Lord keep bringing back. I didn't hear an audible voice, but he kept saying, You know, I do make some nice little puppies, you know, and you know your wife would like to have one, and you know, it would make her life, I mean, you don't have to take care of it, she will take care of it, but she wants a little dog, and so, you know, since I make little dogs, and I make them perfect and everything, well, you need to let your wife have a puppy. So I left beat up that night. I went to bed that night about 1 o'clock Saturday night, and Cheryl, she was still up, and so she came to bed, and we're laying there. She said, "Well, has the Lord spoken to you yet?" And I says, "About what?" That just sound just like a husband. "About what?" She says, "About my puppy." I said, "You really want this puppy, don't you?" She said, "Yes, I do, and I found this perfect one on the internet. He's only about a pound and a half." That's his she. A little tiny black thing. "Can I go get you a picture?" I said, "No, I don't want to see no picture. No pictures." She said, "Honey, can I have the dog?" I said, "Okay, you can have the dog." So don't ever say never when you got girls that know how to go to the throne of grace. Because they can pray to God and God can come down and that old hard heart, you and me, God, he can change it. You know that, brother? Unfortunately, he could work on us.
I couldn't hold out as long as you
did. Oh, but anyway, we got this little puppy. Cheryl went and got her the little puppy and brought it here. And, of course, it has been something else. I mean, it is a centerpiece of a ministry center. Everybody loves the little dog. Now she weighs 2 pounds and 3 ounces. You know, Cheryl has to weigh her on the postage scale. We don't have anything else that'll weigh her. You know, so she weighs her 2 pounds and 3 ounces, and she runs around here, little tiny thing about that tall. And I will have to say, you know, when I go in there, she just gets all fidgety and comes over, and especially when I take my shoes and socks off, she starts biting on my toes and everything else. and just runs around and barks and just has a good time. I thought, you know, I guess this really has made a light. I mean, all my grandbabies are over here regular playing with that little thing, loving it. Everybody loves the dog, including the girls. And I guess I'll have to say that maybe me and old hardcore Dave, we might even be softened up a little bit. I don't know. But I didn't want a dog in the house, but I got one. Now then, how did all this work? The girls knew how to go to the throne of grace. Now see, they could have pounded me forever without God's intervention, and I would have said no. I said no dog, there ain't gonna be no dog in the house. And I was dead set there was gonna be no dog in my house ever again. It was over. But can God change you? Yes, He can. He can change you. See, that's what we need to learn. Instead of getting all upset, do you know there's been couples that don't know how to go to the throne of grace, that both of them are in church, that over some little something like the stupid little thing of a dog, they would build it into something and even wind up with a divorce. You know that? People in the church do crazy things because they don't know how to pray. We don't know how to go to God. We don't know how to jump up in Daddy's lap and petition the King. And He can change the heart of people. Now then, verse 35 clearly said, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brothers their trespasses." Now then, I want to take you from here about unforgiveness. I want to take you to a powerful verse of something that God said we could do in the New Testament that almost nobody believes. I want to take you to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26. Mark 11, 22. And I want you to see this. Mark 11, 22. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Have faith in God." Now that is a big secret right there. You got to have faith in God. Now, you know, everybody you ask will tell you, if they're Christian, "I have faith." If you'd asked me 30 years ago, "Do you have faith?" I'd have said yes. "Do you have great faith?" I'd have said yes. But I didn't know how to spell it. I really didn't. I didn't know what faith was. And if I had had faith, then I should have read scriptures like this one and believe that I could do what it says. Because look what it says. "For verily I, Jesus, say unto you, that whosoever..." Now, is He talking to you and me? Yeah, it's us. "That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, he shall come... That but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, as a Christian serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the church today, according to that scripture, what kind of limitation did God give us in the church? No limitations. What do we have to do? Believe with no doubt in our heart. Do you know how hard that is? It's real hard. That's right, ma'am. It's not easy, is it? I mean, just like here a while back, I was asked to go out to Graham, to a retirement home, to speak to about 20 retired people out there in that kind of a retirement center. And when I went in there, there was several different denominations of people. I asked, some were Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, all kinds of Pentecostal. And I said, "Now, does any of you have faith?" And there was a Baptist lady there, and she said, "I have great faith, sir." I said, "Well, praise God." I said, "I'm glad you do." No, almost nobody else said they had great faith. She was the only one. I said, "But the time the day's over, we're going to find out if you really have faith." And so as we went through scriptures like this, I'd say to them, "Do you think that's true?" "Well, of course it's true. It's in God's Word." I said, "When's the last time you spoke to a mountain and saw it moved?" "Well," she said, "I never spoke to a mountain and saw it move." I said, "Well, I thought you had great faith." She said, "Well, I do have." I said, "Well, let's bring it down to something else. When's the last time you prayed for somebody with a headache and commanded it to leave and saw it go away?" Well, she said, I ain't never done that either. I said, I thought you said you had great faith. I mean, a headache's supposed to, I mean, that's minor is compared to moving a mountain, wouldn't you think? But she never even prayed for a headache. And then I said, let me ask you another question. When's the last time you went to a hospital that somebody was sick and afflicted? And I said, let me give you a simple one. Let's say the brainstem severed. And the doctor said it's impossible for this child to live. And you prayed a prayer of faith and expected the child to get well. When did you do that last? She said, well, nobody has ever done anything like that. I said, I have. I said, it happened to my own granddaughter. I said, my own granddaughter had her brain stem severed in an automobile accident when she was 3 years of age. I said, every doctor that checked her, which at least three, I have the reports from at least three doctors, everyone said she's lethal. She cannot live. It's over. This little girl's dead. I said, I took the promises of the Word of God. I stood on them. I said, today that little girl's running and playing. Yeah, and Cheryl said she's back there in the back playing with her puppy right now. She's 12 years old now. But at the time this happened, she was 3 years old. Every doctor told me it was impossible. And the lady says, you mean to tell me you took scriptures like this one? I said, well, I didn't actually use that one, but I said I used one just like it. I'll have Dave flip over to John 15:7 right quick, and I'll show you the actual scripture I used for Caitlin's miracle. John 15:7, then we'll come back here to Mark 11:23. But let's go to John 15:7, and I want you to see what this one says. Now, it has a requirement, and this is where we mess up as Christians. It says, if. Now, that's a big word. You know that? If. You abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. I mean, that's who did that statement come from, brother? From our Jesus, right? Now, can he tell us a lie? No. Then I wonder what's wrong with me, the church. If I have promises like that, and I'm not seeing God do awesome things, then the problem's got to be if you abide in me. Well, obviously, we're not abiding in Him, are we? Or if we go to church on Sunday, what else does God want?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Have You Prayed Yet? In its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.